This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
The trial of Karen Reed, well, it's still an ongoing situation. Will there be another one? Will it be dismissed? That's a question that we're going to find out more about very shortly. Even by the time you are listening to this or watching this, that decision may be made. But we're going to talk about all the possibilities for this case right now. Bob Motta, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, joining me. There's a plethora of options of where this all could go. One of the biggest things that's being argued is some of the jurors have come out and said, you know what, counts one and three, we thought she's not guilty. It's only count two we were stuck on. But that was never addressed in court when the judge said, you know, we're declaring a mistrial here. Can you go back? Can you change that? Is there case law that shows this can or can't be done? Where do you think this is all going?
It's my gut is telling me that she's going to say that they waived it, they being the defense, because they didn't object. Mm-hmm. They should have objected at the time that the mistrial was declared. You know, and I know in their response, they were saying, well, we didn't have any time, that, you know, you came in, you said that there was another note, and you told us that they were hung, you know, deadlocked again. And then they sat there in silence for about 2 minutes while the jury came in. They didn't say anything then. You know, she then reads the note, you know, addresses the jury, says, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to force you to keep doing it. You're clearly deadlocked. And she discharged them. They didn't object then. And then after the jury's out of the room, they still have the opportunity to object because they were talking about scheduling next date for, you know, and they never objected or requested that the judge, basically not poll the jury, because polling a jury is different. When you poll a jury, that means that they've come up with a verdict, but inquire with the jury as to whether or not they have reached any unanimous verdicts on any of the counts. Like that's all she had to do. She couldn't ask for the count.
Yeah.
She can't say, okay, what's your split? But she can say, okay, I just want to make sure, you know, are you unanimous on count one? And they would have said yes or no. Or they would have had the opportunity to say yes or no. And then she would have said, okay, well, yes. All right, well, then I need you to fill the form out. Mm-hmm. And then they might have said, whatever their confusion was.
Yeah.
It's a really strange circumstance because we all heard the notes from the jurors, you know, and then whoever's writing the notes clearly has some understanding of the system and how it's supposed to operate. So it's confusing to me how they didn't understand that they had to find one guilty or not guilty without being able to go to the others, that they could have found one and three not guilty, if that's true, and still been deadlocked on count two, that one doesn't have anything to do with the other. Mm-hmm. There's not a requirement. There's not an acquittal first or, anything like that in order to get to the next charge. So I have a feeling she's going to come in, take the easy way out, and just say that they waived it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that because and she's well within her discretion to do it. Because
sure.
They did waive it.
Why were they so confused? Were the instructions that confused? I mean, there was objection at the beginning from them to the sheet itself from defense saying, why is there not options for guilty, not guilty in each charge? It's just at the end of the sheet. It was, this is the sheet she uses. She's just going to stay with it. And that's what she decided to do. But clearly it caused some confusion. Who's at fault here? Is anybody at fault here?
I don't even think it was that sheet.
No?
The sheet that they were complaining about was the verdict slip for count two.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jackson was arguing the way that it read, it made it seem as if they had to go on, that if they acquitted on the biggest charge in count two and then moved down to the involuntary manslaughter charges, that it wasn't clear as to whether or not, like he felt like they weren't given the option to vote not guilty because it didn't specify it in each of the different kind of lesser included within that second count. That had nothing to do with the second degree murder or the leaving scene. You know what I'm saying? Like those are very simple forms. Mm-hmm. They're like guilty, not guilty. The two that they didn't answer. So what you have to look at is it had to have been the more thorough instructions, the actual instructions on how to fill out the sheets, which were included with the jury instructions in the total package. Mm-hmm. So the slips themselves, I don't think were as much the issue, because she did make a little change. She added the language that Jackson wanted on, on count two. Remember, first she was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I think it's clear. And then she came back. She said, you know what? Yeah. I am going to add that. I'm going to add that language to the end of it. And she did. So I don't think it was that, man. I think it had to have been something where it just wasn't computing that they thought that everything, it was all or nothing proposition. That's the only way I can explain it. Either we're guilty on all three, which makes no sense, or we're not guilty on all three.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, whether or not we're going to get to the merits of that today, I don't know, because I don't think that she needs to. And it's sticky.
Yeah.
If she decides to try to get to the merits, because we're now, I don't know, what is it? When was that? June?
We're almost more than a month out of it now. Yeah. I mean, and if you were to say that, I mean, then you're opening up kind of, you know, Pandora's box here for jurors in other cases to say, oh no, I felt this way and they could be making it up. They could, you know, you go and get all your information. You're not, you know, in a narrow-minded area where you're in as a juror, where you're not hearing all the press. They've been hearing the press now in any case. And you could walk out of that going, oh shit. Like, I didn't see it from that perspective. I'm going to say this. And if you get enough of them doing it, you know, that's, we're dealing with human beings.
Exactly. That is the thing. You and I talk about being human beings all the time, man. And we are not robotic, and we just everything's fluid with the way we think. But like, if we had a situation, you know, I mean, the only way that she could do it, I would think, is that, look, I'm not going to have the attorneys present. I want to get all 12 of them in here in camera. And I'm going to ask them if each and every one of them individually reached a verdict as to counts one and three, and did they state it? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Was it talked about by all the jurors? Well, we definitely are not guilty on one and three. And for whatever reason, they just didn't fill in the form. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, but I just don't see her doing it. I honestly don't like it, you know, but the reality, the flip side of it is you hate to think that if the jury did in fact come to a not guilty on the big charge, the second degree murder charge, that they could still charge her with it, even though they actually did come to a verdict, but they just a series of misfortunate events has brought it to the point where the jury doesn't actually render a verdict, and now the Commonwealth has the opportunity to come back and charge her again.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine if she gets convicted of it on a second trial. And the appeals on that would be, I don't know. It's messy, man. It's like, it's just that case that'll never go away, you know? So we'll see what happens. I have a definite thought that she's going to take the easy way out. You know, it's easier for judges to avoid controversy, avoid making law that creates a slippery slope by just saying, you know what? You waived it. You waived the issue. I can't even address it.
Yeah.
I don't have jurisdiction over it anymore. And you blew it. So at least.
And maybe that is just the answer. They did blow it. They didn't think at that moment to say anything. They, whatever's going through their mind. I mean, I guess hindsight, they probably look back going, shit, we should have. But at that moment in time, they were probably under the assumption that all of us were that, well, everything is at a pass here and nobody's going to get through. And then to hear this later, my God,
got to be, you know, and there's kind of an assumption that they were just kind of in the moment, that they were considering the mistrial to be a win, that they just weren't thinking of it. But I mean, they certainly could have contemplated and said, well, what happens if they have an answer we don't want?
True. I mean, you could have gotten there too. You could have gotten, you know, you could have gone the other way too and still. Well, we can find it wasn't an all. They were thinking all or nothing. It could have gone the other way. So they're just saying, let's just shut up, take it, and hope for the best here.
Right.
Want more of the podcast without the ads?
Then hit subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts.
Try it now for 3 days, absolutely free.
You'll get access to all of our extended advance ad-free episodes instantly,
so you can binge without the break. True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Search and subscribe now on Apple Podcasts.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.